Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, January the 10th, 2007. My name is LaVarn Williams. This is a meeting of a special meeting of the PNB National Finance Committee. The meeting was scheduled to start at 5, initially at 5 and at 5:30 p.m. I love the background noise. And we will meet today we have an agenda that we had actually sent out and also on KPFTX, the calendar. So first, what I would like to do is turn it over to our acting secretary, who is Jane Gatewood from WPFW, for a roll call.
Adelson?
Here.
Bediaco?
Here.
Allen? Heffley? Edwards Tiekert?
Here.
Gatewood here. Hicks?
Here.
Lane? McFaul? We have a replacement.
Barry Goodman is the new treasurer of the LFB from LA.
Okay. Goodman?
Here.
Rawline?
Excuse me? I believe that also has changed. It's a gentleman named Bob, and I'm blanking.
Bob Sent, right. The new treasurer is Bob Sanborn, and he should be on the next meeting. But the two representatives from Houston, they have an LSB meeting this evening, so they will not be on the call. Both Allen and
S-A-N-D-B-O-R-N?
B as in boy, O-R-N. Bob Sanborn.
Okay.
Yes.
So if I have this correct, we have Adelson, Bediaco, Edwards Tiekert, Gatewood, Hicks, Goodman, and Williams on the call?
Yes.
Is Greg Gumay present? So then we have Sanborn, Allen, Heffley, and Lane are absent.
Okay. Thank you very much. And we also sent out an agenda. And so briefly, I'll go over the major points on the agenda. And that's, of course, the next, after the approval of minutes, will be the scheduling of the next meeting, which is scheduled for Thursday, January the 18th. And we can decide on the time, 8:30 or at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then we have, briefly, we'll do a CFO report. And in here, we'll talk about just briefly of status of the of the budget motions concerning the budgets for 2007. Just quickly, and a review of the P&L. We distributed a couple of a preliminary 2006. Also, we have some preliminary numbers for October and November. And then we'll go into a number of issues that have been sort of bandied about were Finance Committee motions and issues, which included the Bank of New York signature cards, legal spending review and analysis, and the archive restoration amendment, and then we plan to adjourn. So I would like to entertain any changes, updates to the agenda.
This is Dave.
Yes.
I would like to do the resolutions first. I have to get off the call for another event, and so if we could deal particularly with the Bank of New York resolution before we do the P&L, I'd appreciate it. So can we do that before we do the CFO report?
Do you only want to do the Bank of New York, or should we just do all the other two? Should be just as brief. Move to number five, number four.
I'm amenable to whatever people want. I guess I'd like to do all the resolutions first.
Okay. Are there any objections? Okay.
No, I have a related comment.
Please, Jane.
The review of the P&L balance sheet and headcount, I'm not really prepared for that. I'm not, and I'm also not sure. Are we talking about the statements ending September 30th, 2006? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, we're talking about that. Plus, Lonnie had some preliminary numbers. I'm looking for them now. And he wanted to talk about, I think, in terms of where we believe we are at this point in time, because we're actually into the third month and the end of the first quarter for the fiscal year. So we wanted to. I wanted to know a little about that, where he think we are. And next week, when we'll be able to get this information, we believe, and be able to look at it between now and next Thursday. So just want to know a preliminary report on those things.
So would it be okay to budget just a short amount of time for that section of the CFO report, this meeting, and a larger plan to devote a larger amount next week?
Yes, absolutely. So
Patty's here.
Thank you, Patty, happily. Dave?
Yeah, I hadn't realized we had a second meeting next week. If that's so, you know, the corporate resolution signature cards needs to be done before the Houston meeting, but not before this week. So if there's other time urgencies, I can hold off. But if not, then I'd just as soon do this now.
Well, I would like to, since we have it on the agenda, I would like to go over that now, because we have a PNB meeting and we addressed this in the PNB meeting, so we need to have a preliminary, at least a status on this before, I would think, before we meet on. We meet this Friday, right?
And my point, I'm sorry, but just to clarify, my point was that I prefer that we deal with those items so that we can have a little time to prepare for the discussion of the other items. That's my own preference.
I'm sorry. So the part you're saying is that we should do the resolutions first, and then go to the others. Okay, but I think that we all agree with that. Okay, and you would like to cut down on the review. Yes, so if we look at those and we have allowed Lonnie to address the issues that are on the agenda and see if there are questions coming out of there or some general ideas or questions. I think Brian had actually done some work and had submitted something or questions from last week. We can just address those, and then we can, for those who haven't had an opportunity, and we can look at those and we can really delve into those in next Thursday's meeting.
Brian here.
Yes, Brian.
And there's a couple agenda items that may have slipped through the cracks. I think Terry sent something in recently having to do with locally generated numbers. And also I had submitted written notice of a motion to rescind for when this was originally scheduled to be the week between Christmas and New Year's. I mean, if it's a special meeting and you already posted the agenda things, we can't add stuff at this point. But I want to make sure they land on the radar.
Oh, absolutely. So in terms of next meeting, the motion to rescind the approval of the KPFA budget is that what you had actually submitted, right, in reference to KPFA's budget?
Point of order.
Okay, please.
The special meeting issue and not dealing with anything not posted, I believe, applies to the PNB meetings, but I don't actually think that a committee meeting, particularly not this one, falls under the classification of a special meeting. I think we can deal with anything we want on the agenda. If we couldn't, then we couldn't deal with some of the things that are on there now because they weren't posted a week in advance.
I mean, the bylaws basically say the committees are subject to the same rules as the PNB.
Yeah, they're subcommittees of the PNB.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I cited from them in an email I sent out earlier today. I mean, we're breaking them in about five different places, so I don't know if...
some of these issues, folks, I'm not sure I'm ready to deal with them if they come up.
Okay, so I think what we should do is that we should we wanted to move the resolutions and the motions up from 5 to 4, and then the other items we will address what Lonnie has information on and what we're knowledgeable about, and then we will proceed to have more information available for the regularly scheduled meeting next Thursday, and that should get us through tonight.
I didn't understand what you just said, Laverne.
That basically what we would need to do is to move the resolutions, make that number 4, and the CFO report number 5. And Lonnie would be prepared to give us the information that he has. And if there are further questions, we will address those questions at the meeting that's scheduled, excuse me, for next Thursday.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay. Also, to send me an agenda, I'm in an awkward...
I'm sorry. I'm trying to be the secretary. I'm having a hard time here. We're going to do the Finance Committee motions and issues. Is that correct, Lavarne?
Yes.
And then we're going to do a brief overview of the CFO report. Is that correct?
Right.
And then that's it.
Yes.
Okay. So, unless we want to approve minutes before we get into the motion resolution.
Yes. And you did you send those again, Jane?
I just now sent them. So, Lonnie, what she had on your CFO report was she had approximately 10 minutes for the budget motion status and headcount plans and risk and opportunities. And then she had a second item, review P&L balance sheet and headcount for FY06. And we were talking about postponing most of that discussion to next week. Is that correct, LaFleur?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that works.
And then,
the headcount stuff. I came with a report that is the P&L for October, November, ready to do that. Look at the audit preliminary for last year, 2006. And not prepared on the headcount. I need to discuss it, though. And I thought we were going to do rescission of that motion in connection with the archives. I thought that would be coming up at the PNB. And then I think Dave introduced the idea, well, let's look at the New York resolution. Those are the things I had on my radar.
The resolutions were on there, but we don't have those other items on this agenda. Were those things that we were planning to talk about?
We have them there. The Bank of New York, that's the day.
The rescission of the archive.
The archive restoration amendment. Yes, it's there.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, yeah.
It's all there.
The Finance Committee motion she had listed was A, Bank of New York signature cards, B, legal spending review and analysis, and C, archive restoration amendment.
Yes.
That's it. Okay, so that's our agenda for this evening. And I
Terry?
Just sent that to you again. Terry,
thanks.
Please.
Yes, in that there's been discussion about whether or not this is a special meeting, I would like to move that the approval of minutes be postponed till next week because it's not appropriate to approve minutes at a special meeting. Normally.
Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Okay, so moved. Thank you. And so I think, so again, did we approve the agenda? I'll entertain a motion to do that.
This is Jane.
Well,
I want to approve the amended agenda.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so moved. Okay, and the next item on the agenda is next Thursday's meeting. It's scheduled for January the 18th. So the question is, should we start at 8 or 8:30? Do I have any feedback on that? 8:30? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Jane, because we're into, and when we start at 8:30, we're into the time element for the East Coast. So, do we have objections from anyone on the East Coast?
I was gonna suggest 8 o'clock because 8:30 is kind of late. Because we're gonna run at least 2.5 hours, so.
I'll try to make it 2, but 8. Okay, so the meeting is scheduled for Thursday, January 18th at 8 o'clock. Okay, so then we're now in the agenda. We're on the finance resolutions issues. The first on the I'll just move the agenda. The first that we'd like to discuss is the Bank of New York signature cards, and I think both Lonnie and Dave have some information on that, and just want to make sure that everyone received Dave's email where he sent that information out today.
Okay.
You want me to address it?
Please.
Okay. Well, the issue is that the corporate resolution, as it's presently structured at the Bank of New York, and my understanding is that this resolution applies to any accounts we would have, grant authority to draft checks or make withdrawals to. It specifies the number of people and how many of them. So basically, Lonnie and the CFO and the general manager are allowed to draft checks on that account with a single signature. That's not really my issue. The issue is the second part, which says can represent and bind the foundation. And there it's Lonnie only, and it's a single signature. And by, I want to emphasize at the start, this has nothing to do with Lonnie as a person. The point that has been made repeatedly on board calls was that due to sort of terrible things that happened with the finances under the previous administration and the absence of any checks and balances, basically at that time the ED was free to spend like wild with no check on it. But the point is that it's not the person of the ED specifically, it's the existence of some, you know, built-in check on the ability of one person to act on matters that are significant. And in this case, manners in which the foundation could be bound could be things like, for example, taking out a line of credit or doing any other thing, opening, closing accounts, whatever. And I wanted, as a matter of course, to have that be a double checkoff. I don't think it's going to impede any action. It just ensures that there's always a balance. And so I think it should be two signatures in section, it's section four. I also think that it's most appropriate that the ED be the second signature. So that's the main one. The secondary one has to do with the question of what it means to be the sole representative or the sole representatives of the foundation. If the board, for example, would like to independently get records. And the question is whether it's appropriate for the board to designate somebody who would be authorized to request records from the bank. So those are the two main points. The other issue is, on the call, Lonnie mentioned that he was uncertain what the status of similar procedures were at three of the other five stations, and I think we need to figure it out and have a uniform way of handling this at all stations. And the background for people who want to know is that, and for anyone listening, is that when the PMB passed the motion, we passed it in a form where we authorized Robert, Scott Adams, and Lonnie in Section 2, and Lonnie in Section 4, and that authorization was to take or was to extend through February 1st so the PMB could reconsider it after we took a look at it. And also, LaVarne had a motion that she introduced during the course of that debate, which said that the chair's signature would be required for withdrawals over $2K on the donor on the account in which the donor funds had been deposited, and I don't see any way on that form to indicate that fact. So that's also an issue. So that's my point.
Okay, Lonnie, do you have a response on that?
That was an awful lot. Well, let's go back over the Bank of New York resolution. These are first normally done. That was the first question. Well, for example, for KPFA, there are three signatories. That would be me, the executive director, and the general manager. At KPFK, I think it's the general manager and the director of fund development. For New York, There isn't a third person. It's the general manager, and in this case, it's me. I've always been a signatory on that account. It would not be nothing new. It's the same as it's been. The changes, though, from our auditor and good practice is not to have the person who writes the checks also sign the checks. In that case, that was Andrew Hardak. That's not good practice. The auditor is recommending that we not do that, and we don't do it at any other station. So that needed to change. The other third signature was a union member, a union steward. And again, the auditor wants to point out, and our attorneys do as well, that a union member as a signatory on checks is not entirely appropriate. Now we move to the question, I think Dave's point was, well, shouldn't we have an ED as a secondary signature? I have no problem with that. We do that on KPFA. So I don't see that as particularly controversial. The only other issue was on the capital account. I do think we need a second signature on the capital account, two signatures as opposed to any one. And that makes sense to me because that's a restricted account and we should add a little bit more protection for that account. As to the issue of the only person, what was that third point about the...
No, you covered them. The idea was that in Section 4, that there was only one signature required to represent and bind. Oh, I see. The last point was whether or not the board can make a direct request of records to the bank.
Yeah, the board can always do that on any record. So I think that that's covered. And if they want to make a direct request, no problem. I don't see a problem with that at all. I understand they have that power right now anyway.
Okay, well, the only issue for me then was that Section 4, I think, should specify two signatures. And I have no idea how it becomes communicated to the bank, the restriction on that one particular account, the capital account you referred to.
Yeah, the way it works is that there are four signature cards, one for each account, and the signatures that can access that account, you would simply have the two signatures on that fourth account, that capital account, and that's how the bank would know two signatures are required.
Fine.
Okay.
This is Jane.
Jane?
Yeah.
I just wonder if you could give me a little bit of background. I don't know why. I don't know much about what you're talking about. I don't have much of the background on this. And
yeah.
I don't need to know a whole lot, but if you could just give a real quick overview about the four accounts you just referenced.
Yeah. Every station has bank accounts, at least two. One is payroll and one is operating. Some stations have three or four. Three in case of WBAI, they have a lockbox account where they have funds coming from a drive go to a special account at the bank as opposed to going directly into operating. A fourth one, it was contemplated, which caused us to have to redo all of it. Whenever you make a change in any of the bank accounts, most banks will require you redo all of the accounts and redo all of the signatures and start all over again and get a board resolution as well, which is the way the bank knows that the board has been notified of those changes. In this case, it was that WBI was given money toward a capital account, a pledge of $100,000, $20,000 initial check against that pledge of $100,000. And the bank wouldn't accept it, would not accept the opening up of the new account without this board resolution. And in doing so, identify who the signatory is on all the accounts. Banks make you redo everything when you make any change in the bank account. And in the process of doing that, I've already described it. Now, it's true for every station. That is, they want to know who can sign on each one of sometimes more two or more accounts and how many signatures. And in this case, it was a special account, restricted account called the capital account. Restricted the funds can only be used for capital campaign. And in this case, as I think Dave was mentioning, and it's no problem, let's have two signatures for that one rather than one. And that makes perfect sense, and no problem there. So that's what we're talking about. These banks, when we have a new ED, we'll have to do this all over again for all the accounts where the ED will be a signatory. We'll have to do it with all the bank accounts. So it's bothersome, it's cumbersome, and the bank sort of says yes. Not only have they done that traditionally, but apparently there's some new sort of restrictions they have in connection with Patriot Act that they need. So we've got other things. Got other things that we're involved with. So that's the background. And that's why we're required to show in the minutes that the board did pass the resolution, is aware of the changes in the bank account.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, there. Background noise.
Yeah, that's me, folks. I'm having to drive right now, so forgive me if there's noise.
Yes, Dave?
So I guess the form of the motion is simply that the corporate resolution for the Bank of New York be modified so that Section 4 specifies two signatories, the CFO and the ED.
Okay.
So I have Adelson moves that Bank of New York... the motion concerning Bank of New York.
The Bank of New York corporate resolution.
Bank of New York
Section.
Corporate resolution be modified.
Such that Section 4 specifies two signatories, the ED and the CFO.
I like it. Just a quick clarification. So that gives them the authority to do things like change the terms of accounts, and then they can designate people who actually sign checks? Or are you
Who's
making
talking?
Lonnie and Greg the check signers for New York?
Who's talking? Is that Brian?
Yeah.
You need to identify yourself because I didn't recognize you for a second. So go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, this doesn't have to do with who can draw checks. Right now,
no.
As the resolution exists, it's one. We have single signer at the bank is authorized, and the ED is not one of those signers. What this says is Section 4 speaks to being able to represent and bind the foundation. So, for example, changing the terms of accounts, opening new accounts, taking out loans.
Got it. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Okay, got it.
Okay, very good.
I think it's good. Let's put it to a vote.
It's there. Just a second. you're too funny. So is there more on this line that you need to share, Dave, is your question answered? It's just on the Section 4? Lonnie?
I'm fine with it.
Okay. All right.
This is Jane for clarification.
Yes.
Okay, so the message that we received from Dave earlier said that on the call, several changes were made. So I'm taking from that it was on a PMB call that several changes were made?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay, so striking Jose Santiago as a signer, an amendment by LaVarn, which we're not sure can be implemented, and an amendment calling for the approval to remain in force. Okay, so then the only remaining question was the changing Section 4. Is that was
good point, Madam Chair? Okay. Hello.
LaVarn, are you there?
Well, while we're waiting for it, I'll just answer. It's a good point. That's right. It's not just that the Section 4 is modified. It's that then the authorization is basically from then on. So I guess it's a continuing approval. So the idea is that now we've made the change we wanted to make, so the approval then extends essentially until we change it again. And on the thing that LaVarn said, LaVarn's amendment that required two signatures on the capital account, Lonnie says that's simply handled by having a distinct signature card for that account so we know how to deal with it. And on the question of the board the secretary being able to request records, according to Lonnie, that's already the case, so that's a non-issue. So I guess the resolution is that the corporate resolution be modified, as I indicated, and that authorization extends until essentially indefinitely, until the board acts again.
Modified to include the two signatures for
so Section 4 be changed to require two signatures?
The CFO and the ED.
CFO and ED.
And that it be granted a continuing authorization. That's probably not the right language. If anybody has a better way to say it,
and the time restriction on authorization be removed?
Yes. Be part of it.
Good way to put it.
Yes.
So the Adelson moves that the Bank of New York corporate resolution passed by the PMB be modified as follows. Section 4 be changed to require two signatures, both the CFO and ED, and that the time restriction on authorization be removed.
Yes. Okay. So does everyone have that? Is there further discussion? Is there any objection to that? Okay. So there's no objection. So moved.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
One other point is I think we need to get from the CFO a listing of the similar terms for all of our accounts. So
so we can get sure it's uniform.
Yeah, that's this is Boulevard. Yeah, that's exactly what we need to do, because Lonnie had given us the process for A, for K, for I. He did not give us what is the process for T and for W. And when I talked about a certain signature level, any movement of funds other than that requiring a signature of the chair. But what, to address that is what we've talked about before, and we can move this to next week, is just signature authorization levels. So this would not be on file at the bank, but would be the process of the policy within each station, that a certain each position would have a certain authorization level could sign up to X amount in for capital or expenses or whatever. And that I think that's something we have talked about. I think we have, like as Lonnie says, he gave us information for A, K, and I. So would like to know what is the process procedure at T and at W.
So you want the record to show that there is a question concerning policies relating to signature authorizations
yes.
that should be documented?
Yes.
At future meetings?
Yes, we need to address that at future meetings. Lonnie, are you still on the phone? On the line? I guess not. So he did not give us what the procedure is for T, but exactly, Jane, that's what we need. Okay, so are we prepared to go to the next item on the agenda? Okay, the next item is legal spending review and analysis, and I can just give a brief outline of what that really refers to. That over the last 6 months or so, there are certain legal issues that have come up where we have had to go into executive session to discuss certain legal issues that our attorneys have dealt with or an attorney is dealing with at this time. And over last year, what we did was we passed a motion that we actually now have a corporate attorney. But as with had happened in the past, I think that there's no one other than us looking at the finances each month and asking a question about what the spending is for. There's no summary of what the legal issues are and if there are any cases that might be or any issues that we might be addressing that might result in a liability for the foundation. So, however, we did do a director inspection at the national office where two of the directors, including myself, we went in because we were curious about this, particularly with the AI, what the spending for legal, what the legal bills were. And we did discuss those. And in fact, we discussed some of the issues of like talking to the attorneys and where we talked with, we had a meeting with Kriegler and we kind of addressed what are some of the issues there. And since we have a new corporate attorney and we have an FCC attorney, there was an issue there in terms of what our rate was for one attorney versus the other. So I think that was addressed, and it was addressed by the FCC attorney asking for an increase in his rate so that it would be equal to our corporate attorney. So the whole point is that, you know, I think we need to really get a focus and do an analysis on what this legal spending is. So when an issue arises, it will not be a surprise, and that people will be aware that this is an issue that we're monitoring or addressing.
Point of privilege?
Sure.
It's not really my privilege. Mr. Siegel, at the KPFK LSB meeting, expressed his being uncomfortable with being referred to as our corporate attorney. Because he doesn't feel corporate, he would prefer to be referred to as our general counsel.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I like the sound of that, too.
Our general counsel versus our specific counsel, who we refer to as our FCC attorney, but, okay, our general counsel. Okay, so the issue, again, is that just like with BAI, we found that our legal bills there was legal spending, and we didn't know what it was being spent, what the spending was for. So I think what we really need to do, so that everyone will be aware, that we do need to have, we need to pass a motion so that we can have a subcommittee. It doesn't have to be in finance. It could be just a subcommittee of the PNB where we can actually look at the spending and address that and inform the PNB of issues that might result in liability for the foundation. Just a second.
I'm not sure what we're talking about.
Excuse me, my mother likes to talk to me when I'm on the phone, but are there any other comments, questions?
Is there a motion in there, LaVon?
No, it's just an awareness of that, of just kind of letting you know I could do a motion that the Finance Committee. Just a second, please. Can you guys just continue to discuss? I have to take a one-minute break. Thank you.
If I understand, it sounds like she's suggesting some future action item. I'm not exactly sure. Does anybody know?
Well, you know, Lonnie here, one thing we could do is gather together for the board what current policies governing legal expense we currently have. We've made some motions in the past. Maybe we start by having a look at what already has been mandated by the board. I think we have to have three people, for example, to access the attorney. The other thing is cost, and maybe a monthly report identifying what the costs are concerning various cases that might be pending might be in order. And then the last part that popped to mind for me is looking at whether or not in the expensive parts of litigation, which is settlement discussions and themselves, have a board litigation committee. Something we did some time ago. We had a litigation committee of the board working with staff. The board kept abreast of what was going on that way. Anyway, that's my suggestion.
So you're suggesting that what we might want to look at in the future is a report documenting policies that the board has already adopted concerning legal expenses?
Yes. We have created some. So getting those together might be useful for people to know, especially new board members, what is already on the book. And then we take on that responsibility to bring that together for the board.
Okay, I'm back. Yeah. So, Lonnie, did you put this in the form of a motion? I just came back on.
Yeah, I guess I would make a motion with three parts. I would move that the Finance Committee bring to the board a summary of motions related to legal expenses and procedures. And secondarily, that we propose to present to the board on a monthly basis legal costs. And third, we would propose the creation of a litigation committee composed of board members and staff so that in settlement questions, these could be reviewed by the board on a continuing and timely basis.
I'm going to try and repeat that back, Lonnie, okay?
Okay.
Hicks has moved that the Finance Committee recommend that the Finance Committee, one, prepare a summary of already adopted motions related to legal expenses and what?
And procedures.
Legal expenses and procedures?
Yes.
Two, prepare a monthly report on legal expenses?
Yes, so the board is aware of how those expenses trend.
Showing
monthly legal expenses, and then the board needs more detail on who the expenses are with and in connection with what activities we would have that available to them.
and the and the finance committee recommends that the PMB create a litigation committee composed of PMB members and staff.
Yeah, especially in connection with settlement cases, pending settlements. That way, the board knows in advance what's being proposed in the way of settlement.
Okay, I'll try sending this out.
Okay. Are there any further discussion on that? Questions about that?
Patty here?
Yes, please.
Is there currently any kind of listing of what our total legal fees are around that we might be owing? Or I know that we did some inspections in the national office a few months back and found bills to be quite astonishing at certain stations. And it would be good to have those attorneys' names and their rates and how it is that they are hired or who is able to consult with them and in what way. Didn't we talk about that once before when we were meeting?
Yeah, we came up with a policy, too, as I recall. We said, you know, three board members have to ask the questions to be passed on to the attorney. We had, remember that three or four different attorneys we were talking about, FCC attorney, Jack Kriegler, and we've got a labor attorney, general counsel. So I think that we're going to have to look at laying out sort of what our current practices and procedures are. That could include some of the stuff you were talking about, like, well, what are the fees, who are they, or what's our current status. Be happy to work with anybody that wants to look at that.
Terry.
I don't oppose the resolution, but we will have to identify a member of the committee who has access to the minutes and the resolutions and can prepare that summary for the PMB.
Well, no, we have motion summaries from 2005, 2004, and I think Greg is finishing up. I was working with him this morning on a summary of motions for 2006. So it's readily available. We'll just call through it looking for the legal stuff and see what we come up with.
Right, and then what I will do is I'll just call from those 3 years the ones that are related to related to legal spending, because when we did pass the motion on allowing three directors who could choose to ask for an issue to be directed by our general counsel, that we would, we really didn't, and we talked some, because we did this, we had a legal committee to do this, and we talked some about the expense, but it wasn't really, we really didn't do any analysis on it. And we thought that it could probably be addressed within the monthly retainer. And that's basically where we stood. So, you know, after that period of time, we can see exactly how the expenses have accumulated or if we have any. Do we have billings for any of that from our general counsel at this point?
Yes, we have his billings.
Okay.
And they're in October-November statements.
Okay.
So I can go, when I go over that, I can sort of point out how much is coming from him as opposed to other folks.
Okay, good.
Mark?
Yes.
Yeah, one of the points I made during that debate is, you know, it's fine right now, but I was just concerned that there'd not be a way where one or several people just continuously asking for recourse could drive up our expenses. And did we set a cap on it at that time such that it couldn't go over the amount of the retainer, Lonnie? Do you remember that?
Well, I think what we said was that if it exceeded the retainer in any given month, we would notify finance.
Is that how it works? Yeah. Well, actually, I mean, it's not a problem right now, but every once in a while, and I know this may come as a shock, but every once in a while, somebody decides to behave unreasonably, and so I just wanted some pre-existing protection against that. But that's purely an editorial remark. I'm not suggesting we do it at this point.
Well,
drives support.
You know, counsel coming to the board meeting, he may exceed at that point, so keep in mind.
And that's why I think so. Are there any other questions, concerns about the motion that's on the floor? Yes.
Well, it sounds like both item one and item two would best be done by Lonnie and Greg. It seems like they're going to be in the best position to do that, and I'm really wondering what the committee's role. And then the third item is something that we're just recommending the PMB do. So I wonder what this committee is supposed to do on these items.
Well, we're recommending to the board that these procedures be established and that this particular information be a part of our committee, finance committee's routine that is keeping track of legal expenses.
Well, in that case, maybe we need a little bit of tweaking for the wording on this.
Okay, did you have a chance to send it out?
Well, aren't we just recommending to the board or letting the board know what our critical procedures are around legal? Requesting and recommending that the board set up a litigation committee clearly is for something them to take up. But the other two, we're simply saying that we will have available and we'll be gathering it on a regular basis so the board's informed that it's available.
So
did anybody get what I sent out?
I don't have it.
Uh-oh. Did anybody get it?
Okay, so again, I think that these issues as they arise, that when we discuss some of these things at the PNB or in discussion, it seemed to be we might have looked at it in finance, but it seems that it's some of these issues that since we actually address every issue, all spending is in, when we're looking at the P&Ls, every issue is on there because there's an expense related to it. But when we start discussing these issues outside of the finance sense, some of these issues appear to be surprises. And we want to take the surprise out of that since finance has an opportunity to look at all of these issues within the spending, within the cost of these issues, these actions. So that's why we need to, I think that we need these motions so that the PNB is and everyone is aware and can take action on these where action is required. So, again, you wanted to look at the language on that. So you're going to send that. So can we move to the next one? Or because you wanted to do a little wordsmithing on the legal spending?
I don't know why my message isn't getting through to people.
Yes.
I can just read it aloud.
Okay. Good.
Hicks moves that the Finance Committee, 1, prepare a summary of already adopted motions related to legal expenses and procedures, 2, prepare a monthly report on legal expenses showing trends, and 3, that we recommend that the PMB create a litigation committee composed of PMB members and staff.
Okay, so I see the third one is really the motion, and the other are two or more actions that Finance Committee for action that we can recommend or move for action on the part of the Finance Committee, and perhaps request that, again, this is part of the PNB report for each PNB meeting or major in-person meeting.
Yeah,
I interpret this as a move to separate that?
Yes, to divide.
Okay, so then how about Hicks moves that the Finance Committee recommends that the PMB create a litigation committee composed of PMB members and staff.
Okay.
That's just whose purpose would be to review all proposed legal settlements, but I think that's where a good deal of the expense pops up.
Which will function to review all
proposed legal settlements. And then that way the board is involved and is informed.
Okay, so Hicks moves that the Finance Committee recommends that the PMB create a litigation committee composed of PMB members and staff, which will function to review all proposed legal settlements.
All proposed legal settlements proposed.
Pardon?
Yeah, all proposed legal settlements.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Question? Have a question?
Sure, Dave.
Yeah, at the moment we're treating a settlement as essentially a contract, and it falls under the contract policy of oversight by the coordinating committee. Is this something above and beyond that, in addition to it, instead of it?
Is there a motion on that, Dave? I can't recall, but you're aware. Go ahead, Delaney.
Well, the contracts policy calls for contracts that are over a given amount, which all legal settlements are, to be reviewed by the coordinating committee, and then if the committee thinks the board as a whole needs to review it, it's referred to the board before it's acted on. I raised a fuss about a year ago, along with Ken Freeland, wanting to get the executive sessions of the coordinating committee open and noticed to the board so the board could hear such things, but that never exactly happened for various reasons, but not exactly. It never happened. So as it stands right now, before a settlement was entered into, that process would have to occur. So I'm trying to understand whether the recommendation coming out of this committee is that there be an alternative process or an additional process, or whether it's effectively the same process. I heard something about other staff in there, so.
I guess from my viewpoint, I know that there's a need for this because in our last PNB meeting, there was total surprise about a certain issue, our legal potential settlement that was noticed at the time, and there was a complete surprise. So, again, the point I tried to make earlier was that through finance, by looking at expenses, we can question why there's a certain expense line item there, and we can just recommend this. So hopefully, Dave, we can work this in terms of trying to address in the part of this question that you had earlier, or that you had said perhaps Ken Freeland had, that, you know, it's that finance can do this, and hopefully it can do it in that if this won't be opposed to the coordinating committee, but perhaps will also work in that direction of supporting the coordinating committee.
Okay, so the answer to my question is this is in addition to,
yes,
rather than, okay, got it, thank you.
Yeah, because it's not working, particularly after the last PNB meeting. So
the clarification is that this will function as an adjunct to the, this will function. Did that need any clarification of how this motion relates to the contracts motion that was already approved?
Maybe we should amend it to say, in addition to existing procedures specified by the existing contracts policy, blah, blah, blah.
Lonnie, does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah, no problem. I think that's fine.
So then it would read, Hicks moves that we recommend that in addition to already adopted contract procedures,
right,
the PMB should create a litigation committee. Does that sound about right, Dave?
Yeah, I would have done the words differently, but it's not important enough. I would have said in addition to existing provisions for contract review.
Okay, in addition to existing provisions for contract review, that the PMB should create a litigation committee composed of PMB members and staff, which will function to review all proposed legal settlements.
Yes. Keyword is proposed.
And what staff?
Yeah, if our goal as a committee is to save the PNB work, we should be specific.
Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, what was the question?
Which staff we should be specific.
Oh.
Instead of staff, we should say which staff.
Well,
the staff.
And
whoever else they might deem appropriate.
Who did you say?
Point of information.
Sure, Brian.
Lonnie, is your idea that you want to put specific staff members on the screen in an ex officio capacity, in other words, by virtue of the office they hold, or do you want this committee to just meet with whatever staff are relevant to the case?
Oh, not whatever staff are relevant to the case. I think it must go through the ED at least.
Okay.
Do you mean rather than staff, officers? Because you and the ED are officers of the foundation.
Well, I would include me, too, but I think that if you have a litigation committee that meets directly, say, with a GM, that doesn't feel appropriate, and because you'll have the attorney there, the ED, maybe the CFO, I'm happy to fit in, but a board of people who, as members of the litigation committee, can see a case developing, of course, be helpful in any way that they can be. But it would then, if necessary, bring in any staff person that might have information or needs to be a part of the review of a proposed settlement.
They're not members of the committee. It's you're really talking about a legal oversight committee that consults with appropriate staff.
Yes.
Should include the ED and board members, or you could just say should include board members and kind of. I don't know whether you want to be specified on it too or not, but if you do, I have no problem with that. It's just we.
I think it should be, and then the board can say we want to hear from other people and bring them in if they might.
Right.
Jane,
I have a question. Yeah, go ahead, Jane.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask Lonnie, when you worked this similar type thing in the past, how was staff used at that time?
Pretty much as I was describing, when we settled 8 or 9 cases using this particular model, there was a litigation committee. That committee got updates on legal and certainly pending settlements from staff on a regular basis, mostly the ED. And then when a pending or proposed settlement was on the table, the litigation committee reviewed it. And then as a settlement approached, I remember we were on the phone with the litigation committee while settling a case down in L.A. in terms of the insurance company was there, opposing attorneys were there, and board members were a part of the settlement process. And that way, you know, the court could be assured that all the T's have been crossed and the I's have been dotted. That system worked for 8 or 9 settlements, so I sort of, well, it worked. I just had confidence in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so do we need to change the language of this motion?
Would it be helpful to propose this to the PMB with specific language from what I hear you, it sounds like you're saying committee composed of PMB members, the ED, appropriate legal counsel, and others as specified by who?
As appropriate.
But who decides, the PMB or the ED?
It has to be a joint decision.
Okay.
I think I'm saying that the ED and the CFO are members of the litigation committee, and whatever members of PNB may decide, and the committee makes those decisions together.
Okay. So a litigation committee composed of the PNB, the ED, and CFO, and
general counsel.
General counsel and any others that the committee feels need to be brought in.
Yes, that's the idea.
Added?
That's sort of how we did it.